Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We now are excited to have you with us as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For this is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Would you join us now as we are here every Tuesday, beginning with devotion? We'll have song, scripture, and prayer. We'll begin with a song by Yolanda Adams.
Oh,
You on the line?
Yes, I am.
Are you able to read the same passage we had last week?
What is the passage?
Matthew 24. I can read it if you don't have it.
I don't have it right now. I don't know which verse.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Matthew 24, starting with verses 1. It says, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its building. Do you see all these things? He asked. I tell you the truth. Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming, I am the Christ. And will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the world, whole world, as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So when you're standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the rooftop of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. And at that time, if anyone says to you, Look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it, for false Christ and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is out in the desert, do not go out. Or here he is in the inner room, do not believe. For as the lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. And then it says, immediately, that the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now, learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and the leaves come out, you know the summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. For as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is faithful and wise servant? Whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time. It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time, and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him into pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I read for you the 24th verse of the book of Matthew, 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Dr. Nix, are you at a place where you feel like you can pray?
Yes, I'm sorry. I've been under the weather. God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence. We ask you to bless our leader, Dr. Susie. God, we pray that you can open our minds and our hearts to understanding and help us to share as we discuss things like the end times and dispensations, so that we might help our hearers to understand better, that we might understand better, that we might understand your love for us, how you've loved us from the very beginning. Bless us, God, and strengthen us, for we are weak and we need your strength and your power. Thank you for this opportunity to study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What we clarified is that last week, we begin our discussion about Jesus' return. And we'll be talking about that all through the month of November. And we won't probably follow the assignment as it's given because it may take a little bit longer than that. And then Dr. Nutz will have to help and pick up on it when it's his turn to share. But one of the things, good evening, Brett, glad to have you. One of the things that we talked about as we began the discussion about Jesus' return is that this is a very challenging text. And people have a tendency to struggle looking at discussions on the end time or Christ's return. And so as we go through this, what we have to analyze is how do we go about studying books that are apocalyptic, prophetic, symbolic. And last week, Dr. Nooks and I kind of began to talk about and ask the question of, you know, how do you study? We asked the question, how do you study prophetic books like Revelations and Matthew, the 24th chapter. And we found out that, you know, it's not an easy task, but there are different perspectives that you needed to know existed in order to look at Revelations. And last week, we talked about those different interpretations and how you look at it. One was a preterist, the other was the futurist, and I think Dr. Nooks and I came up with the understanding that he and I were close to being the futurist. And so the challenge is knowing that there are different ways of interpreting these difficult texts and what criteria are individuals going to use to put in place to make those decisions about what they perceive the text to mean. And so we went through some suggestions, and we asked each person to come back this week with a little bit of understanding of what it is that where they were, what they believed in. And I think Dr. Nooks and I had pretty much decided at the end of the lesson that we were pretty much futurist and that we believe some people, specifically the evangelicals, had a perspective that they took the word literally, that they believe the text in the Bible for what it says. They believe in symbolism as it pertains to Revelations, but that all of this is a real expectation of what is to occur, whereas the preterists had a perspective that it related to something that happened back in the time of Caesar and early church history. But Dr. Nooks, did you have anything that you wanted to bring up about last week?
Well, just I think in studying them, he talked about the symbolism and the fact that a lot of it is theory and people have their different opinions of it. So you'll find a lot of different opinions as to what is meant by the end times or eschatology. So I think we need to study for ourselves and try to get an understanding and see what God is telling us. And there are a lot of lessons from Revelation end times, you know, and try to see what that is saying to you. But it's thing to me that God has, we have a place with God, and that those of us that believe in God should be confident in that belief and realize that we have a better place than this place, and gives us confidence in our faith, and it ought to cause us to act as children of God and realizing that we have confidence in what we do, because eternity is much longer than what our lifespan is here.
Amen. Amen. Brother, Brett, are you on the line tonight?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you doing?
And in the words of one of my, and in the words of one of my favorite comedians, I'm so confused. I'm only playing. as of last week when you and Dr. Mix was talking, I found that I wasn't sure exactly how I took the book of Revelations, but I think I have to agree with your, with the way you guys are looking at it. I think it's something that's going to happen. It's just not, we're not in that time yet, I'll put it that way. But I believe it's something that is going to happen. God doesn't reveal things to us that he doesn't want us to not know. And when it comes to the book of Revelations, I believe this is the, how I want to put it, this means that either you are for real and you're gonna go where God wants you to go, or you're going to be fake and you're going to miss out, and you know where you're going because you can't play with the word. So I believe wholeheartedly that the book of Revelations are just as relevant as the rest of the books of the Bible, that it is a sign of things that is going to come.
Okay. I hear you, Brett. What I wanted to do is kind of reiterate some of the things that I talked about last week, just to give everybody on the same page. And it's a real thing that this is not an easy way to interpret Revelations and the end times, as Dr. Nook says, that, you know, the parousia, second coming, the return of Christ, all of these words, we have information in the Bible that give us clues and hints as to what we can expect. And we don't want to be caught unaware, without knowledge, without looking, without trying to see what God is saying to us, so that we have some idea of what to expect and what to look for. You know, I think that's the whole reason why we're trying to examine this text, is so that we have some knowledge. Now, Brett, I heard you say, oh, I'm confused. And that's not an uncommon place to be.
Right.
There are lots of people, when they talk about the end times, that they get confused. Many people who are experts get confused. There are lots of interpretations out there, aren't there, Dr. Nooks? And with those different interpretations, there are lots of theologians that have perspectives, and they constantly are altering those and changing those and reinterpreting, using hermeneutics as a knowledge that is used to interpret. They call it hermeneutics, which is an interpretation of the text, the Bible. And they use hermeneutics to continue to examine and try to understand and analyze to have better understanding of what's going on. So don't feel bad, and I don't think that I have all the answers, Brett, and I don't think Dr. Nutz feels he has all the answers. And that's why when we started this Bible study, this particular one, we said we would start from scratch and do it as as though we were all studying together, that we're digging up information together because of the complexity of this text and what it is. And so it's very difficult. And so it's very difficult. And with it being difficult, that means that we have to be intentional about taking it step by step so that we're not as confused. So one of the things I wanted us to look at is and to understand that there is a debate. So don't feel as though because you don't have all the answers that it's you know, you need to be frustrated about it. The second thing you need to look at is understanding that there are different views, and I mentioned them last week. There's the idealist view, there's the preterist view, there's a historicist view, and there's a futuristic view. And with all these different views of understanding end time text, we have to leave room for people to have their own perspectives and challenges. So it's really difficult. It's really difficult to be able to do this. It's really difficult to be able to have all the answers and to be able to know exactly what it is that we need to say and all the answers, because we don't have them all, Brett. So, Dr. Nooks, did you have any feedback about the fact that, you know, how difficult it is as we're studying this to really understand that this is a complicated text that people who spend their whole lives on struggle with? Are you on mute?
They do, and there are actually scriptures from the Old Testament. Isaiah talks about a lot of things that will happen in the end times also, but there are books from the New Testament also, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and Jesus talks about it here in Matthew 24. There are different parts of the end times. But one thing about it is we realize that in the first chapter, they talk about the candles and Jesus walking amongst the candlesticks. And so Jesus is with us. I think that's what we need to understand. And he tells us at the end of Matthew that he will be with us always, even to the end of this age. But those of us that are with Christ will be with Christ. If we look in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and we look at the rapture, and I think we might study that next week, but we'll be raptured with him when he comes the second time. But there are texts in there about the churches, interpretation of the churches, the message to the churches in Asia Minor, and those messages have been preached a lot of times as far as different churches, get the churches to understand what they need to do to be more aligned with God's word. There are texts about the Antichrist, the false prophet, the beast, the church, the government, and how the government's going to be set up and aligned with the Antichrist at the end times, the falling of people, also people to be saved out of after the rapture, the millennial rule, lake of fire. There's so many different things in Revelation that we struggle to understand. But in the end, you know, those that are a part of Christ say, even so, come Lord Jesus. So those of us that love the Lord will even know things are going to happen. And some of us are not going to be a part of some of those things that are going to happen in the end times. Probably everyone that's talking here won't, but know that if you're on with Christ, that you're going to make it. But it is difficult to understand some of the symbolism.
Amen. And we talked about that last week. And as Dr. Nick says, there are multiple scriptures that lend to
apocalyptic.
Yes, I don't know what today is. It's a hard time. Apocalyptic literature, or the literature of the end times. There's lots of scriptures and text involved with that. And so, thank you, Dr. Nooks. Apocalyptic. I don't know what's wrong with me today. Probably because I'm sick and I'm in the bed too. But the whole point is that, as Dr. Nooks was saying, is no matter what, we're not alone. God is walking with us. He said he'd never leave us or forsake us. And we just have to believe the words that God has given us as we go through. So that's where I am, and I think that's where most of you are, which is why we're going through this. But as I asked last week, I asked you to decide which view did you have. Were you a person who was an idealist, who believed that uses allegory to approach Revelations, meaning that Revelations is not tied to any specific historical event? They use the imagery of the book symbolically, and it talks about the ongoing struggle throughout the age of God and Satan and good against evil. I meant, you know, there are some people who believe that. And then there are people who believe in the prettiest view, which I was saying to you last week, that talked about, that went back to the historical pieces and pointed everything back to things that were happening during the church historians were referring things back to the time of Caesar and those kind of symbolism with the numbers and the associations and the symbolism that the prophecy and those things were being encouraged to go back to the time of the Roman Empire and find connections. I'm sure it's much more in depth than that, but it's just another way of separating the way that people perceive things. I don't think that the symbolism goes back to what's already occurred. I think it has to do with something that's in the future, which is why I'm a futurist. And but, of course, there's a historical view, and that's the view that teaches that Revelation is a symbolic representation that presents the course of history from the apostles' life through the end of the age. And for me, that's not me either. I, again, am a futurist that believes that this whole book are things that what we see now, what's going on right now, what's going to take place later, it's what is actually going to happen. And that's just what I believe. I believe a little literal future world is going to occur, and these things are going to happen. But, you know, just because I believe that doesn't mean that other people have to believe what I believe. The whole thing about this Bible study has always been is that individuals are encouraged to come with their perspective, and we share to share knowledge. So
this
I'm sort
James,
of a literalist.
Dr. Susie. And I'm a futurist also, and one of the main reasons why is because I believe in the rapture. I don't believe the rapture has occurred yet. And the rapture we read about in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, but where those in Christ will be caught up to meet Christ in the air. We will be raptured when Christ comes the second time, and that we won't go through the millennial rule.
Could you read the scripture,
Dr.
Nooks? Since we're just going to go as we go by, so could you just read the text in 1 Thessalonians?
I'll have to get it. Sorry.
Which one did you want? 1 Thessalonians, what's the text?
I don't have it.
Okay, you don't have it with you.
Do 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18.
Okay. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4 says, the whole point it says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. But we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who still are alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So, go ahead, Dr. Ness.
I was going to say, I don't believe that that has occurred yet. I believe that's something that will happen in the future. And then after that, then the millennial rule will start. And many of the things that are talked about in Revelations from like the fourth chapter all the way through to like the 19th and 20th chapter are going to occur when they break these different seals and things begin to happen. And those haven't happened yet, so that's why I'm a futurist. When we start seeing people disappear, and if we're gone, and hopefully we're gone, but then I think you'll begin to see some of these things happen that are in Revelations. And,
amen.
And the whole thing about Revelations is God's just going to be ready for things to change. Jesus says that he didn't even know when it was going to be when he was asked about it by his disciples, you know. So we don't know when that's going to be, but we know that God is going to take care of all this stuff that's happening now. We worry about people getting out of control and acting crazy and some of our leaders, but we need to understand and have faith in God and not in these people, and understand that God knows what's going on. And God still is active, working in this world, even when we have crazy leaders and people acting crazy. God is still in control. And I'm excited about that tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Dr.
Susie Disapprove. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah. The reason why I said I agree with you and Dr. Knox is simply because, being raised in a Baptist church and even listening to my dad that was a Pentecostal minister, the one thing that I always heard that was in agreement is that the book of Revelations was something that was going to come, but it hasn't happened yet. And that's why when I read and I listen to what I'm reading, and there's evidence, such as you just read in Thessalonians, that says it is coming. It hasn't happened yet. So for people to say that it's happened or to have any other view, that couldn't hold water, because if it has already happened, then how come we're still here? See, that just doesn't make sense. So the thing is, go ahead, Brett.
When you look at what?
I was going to say, just when I started reading the book of Revelations, when at the beginning it talks about the seven churches and where the seven churches are, and there was a letter to each of the churches, and it gave certain things that God was addressing to that particular church. So we're not part of those seven churches, but we are in the body of Christ. So therefore, when Revelation starts to happen, everything is going to happen in God's time. We don't know. You know, for us, we look at a clock and we look at 60 minutes, and we know we got an hour. But we don't know what God's clock looks like. We don't know what a minute is going to be in our time versus this time. So I'm not dumb enough to sit up here and say, hey, it's going to happen at this time or that time or anything else. It's going to happen on God's time, and when God is ready for this to happen, it will happen. But I think that just like everything else that happens, just like everything else that happens in the Bible, when we are foretold about things, there's certain little signs of things that start to happen, and if you don't pay attention to it, you're going to miss it. And then all of a sudden, it's like, bam, here it is. And it's not. There's things leading up to that. So
well, this is Dr. Susie, and I believe that if the rapture had already occurred, there would be some historical data that, you know, it would have been such a phenomenal event that it would be listed everywhere and people would be still talking about it if that fact had occurred. That's my perspective. The word rapture means literally to snatch away, to take away. And Jerome, in the Latin translation of Thessalonians 4:17, used that word. That's where we get the English word rapture. And it means being carried away. It means it's a connotation that's enthusiastic about being taken away. And it's important that we look at what Dr. Nooks was saying, the scripture, there is some assurance, even though people are taken away, there are some significant things that happen. There are three assurances with what's happened is that no one is left behind. We're talking about believers. So this is a point where it says those who are alive will be caught up together with the Lord, and those who have already died will actually beat them to this encounter. So Paul doesn't even talk about what happens to people who are not believers. He's only talking about believers. So from my perspective, anyway. And the second assurance is he's writing to try to encourage the people, the readers of the text, encourage one another with the words that he has in 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Anyone who uses a discussion of the rapture to scare people, and there are people who've done that, into faith, they use it in a way that I don't think that God wants us to browbeat people or to make them fearful, because this is a word of love, and the response is to be in love. And if you choose to love the Lord, you do that, and you join, and you believe, and you walk with it. And if you don't, you keep it rolling. But the idea that Jesus has returned is such a phenomenal thing that we need to anticipate and celebrate, not to be fearful of, right? But if you happen to go back home one day and ain't nobody there, that would be a little shocking. I don't know, have any of you, let me do the third point before I forget, but the final thing that the final point I think Paul tries to make with that text is that this event is one that will encourage people, those who meet the Lord will dwell with God forever. So as we understand that we do meet the end times, that it has some very positive results for us, and that we will be with God forever. And that's celebratory. And that makes it all worthwhile. It's not some escapist theology, you know. So, you know, but it's the fact that we will be with the Lord. We'll be with the Lord. And that's where I think all of us go to be. Before we move on to the next thing, because it's already 7:51, there is something I wanted to mention. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the understanding of dispensation. So when we look at dispensation, we keep talking about revelations. We talked about how the end time scriptures are very difficult. We talked about the four different methodologies of interpretation of revelations and apocalyptic literature. And the next thing I think that's key for us to look at is when we're interpreting the Bible, that there are historically that the Bible's divided into historical theological systems so that we can understand the history of the text. Let me try to say it different. Trying to divide the Bible into different paradigms that show how God manages and fulfills God's purpose. So there are different dispensations, just like you would take and you would do an outline of time. Each of the dispensations represent a time period and how God attempts to manage and relate to those of us in the world and fulfill God's purposes. So as we look at those, I kind of wanted to just point out those dispensations, those timelines in which God managed or is managing. And Dr. Nooks, if you got a better definition for dispensation, it's more simple. I'm open to one. Anybody else got a better definition? But if you don't, if you have one in a few minutes, you can bring that back up later. But there are seven dispensations, seven periods. Okay. I was trying to find something that was clearer than mine. I'm going to read this to you. It's a note that I have. It says, dispensationalism hypothesizes several different biblical eras, with God administering each of these eras, according to different rules. Dispensationalists begin with the assumption that during this present era, faith alone is obtained through grace and not works. So they call this the dispensation that we're living in of grace. So no matter how many times it says a requirement for good works is mentioned in the Bible, and I thought this was important, that's why I wrote it down. It says salvation obtained solely by faith. That means grace alone is the doctrinal cornerstone of Protestantism. And Protestantism is for those of us who believe in Christ that is non-Catholic. So there's Catholic, and then there's Protestant. And Protestant are all the other denominations that are non-Catholic that believe in Jesus Christ. Dr. Nooks, would you have a different definition?
No, and I agree that dispensationalism has to do with certain events and the time factor and how God relates to people in those different time periods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, it's just a way of helping us to study and understand the Bible and understand God's work with humanity. So it's an aid to us. And I think people, the theologians, are people that have broken down different. They've even come up with different dispensations. So all of them don't have the same dispensations, but it's a methodology to help us understand.
And the reason why they came up with the understanding of dispensations, I believe, is because, you know, those who believed in sola scriptura, meaning only the Bible, that, you know, that we could believe everything in the Bible. Only the Bible, the scriptures in the Bible, they require an a tool of interpretation to help when they felt scripture contradicted itself. And it's the dispensationalists that use the explanation of what's going on in the historical timelines to explain why the discrepancies. Anybody else there? Hello.
I'm here. This is James. Can you hear us, Dr. Susie?
Can you hear me?
Susie.
Yeah.
Did you hear
yes,
James?
Yes, Brett.
Okay.
All right. He said he agreed. Yeah. And so, as you said, Dr. Nooks, and that's why, again, I reiterate, when we study end times, apocalyptic literature, parousia, the return of Christ, these documents, and Dr. Nooks listed many of them, and more than just Matthew and Revelation, the Thessalonians and others that he mentioned, these scriptures, and these are have people who study them, and they don't all come up with the same time frame or breakdown of time, and they're not all the same, so they're going to be different. So I may give you 7, and somebody else may have 8. So, you know, we're just using it as a means of communication about the dispensations. I wanted to leave the note tonight just by talking about the dispensations. So, Brett, do you understand what a dispensation is?
Yeah,
so dispensations are those eras of or historical times, eras of points in times, say ranges of period of time. For example, I'm going to explain 7 of them. So there's a dispensation they call of innocence, and that was during the creation of Adam to the fall. So that period of time you see what I'm saying? That period of time explains what was going on, what God was doing in the lives of humanity during that time, and how we were interrelating biblically. And then the next dispensation is defined as one of conscious, and that's the time of the fall, which is the ending of the first one, to the flood. The fall to the flood. The third dispensation, and Dr. Nooks and Brett, if you all come up with different ones, bring them back next week, and we can talk about the dispensations, and we can even look at how it's different and what it was that whoever you used, how did they come up with the break in time and what were their factors that they used of separation. But the third one was the dispensation of human government, and that was from the time of flood when, you know, with Noah and the reestablishment of life to Abraham, the time of Abraham. And then the fourth dispensation, which is the dispensation of promise, begins with the time of Abraham, which is the end of the last one, to Moses receiving the Ten Commandments. And then the next one is the dispensation of the law, the time period that's ruled by the law, and that was when Moses received the law on Mount Sinai to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Now, during this time period, this is an intertestamental time between the testaments, when Christ was residing on the earth, preaching, and the keeping of the law, you know, from Moses to the time when he was residing here, when he was living here, when he was preaching, keeping the law, that was a time that they saw it was works based on salvation, because Christ had not died on the cross yet. It was a time of work, meaning that we didn't have grace yet because Christ hadn't died on the cross. Are you guys with me? Amen? Yes, whatever. So with
yes.
With the crucifixion, because of what the work that Christ did on the cross, we moved into dispensation of grace. So that was the death of Jesus, because he was the testator. He was the one who was the legacy giver, the will person, to the millennial kingdom now, which is called the church age. Now, what do you all know of as the millennial kingdom? And let me just say those, and then we'll go back to the millennial kingdom. But the millennial kingdom, which is also known as the church age, and then we talk about the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. This is another way that it's defined. It's a period of time during which the Antichrist rules the world, and we are all aware of that. And many say that, you know, that's where we are now. We're in the dispensation of grace. And a period of time during which the Antichrist rules the world. And, you know, we can talk about this next week on how that looks. What do you see as depicting things that might look as though the Antichrist is preparing to rule the world? What does that look like to you? What are things that we're encountering? What kind of things does the Bible say that the earth is going to do, or the storms and the tsunamis, and how the earth will be groaning? What type of things do you see? And then the last one is the millennial kingdom. And that's following the great tribulation. Christ will come and rule over the earth for 1,000 years. Right?
Amen.
And dispensationalist reason, they believe that much of what Christ commanded that we had to do, works, things that we need to do, they couldn't logically belong in the dispensation of grace. And so they have some discrepancies and different things that they deal with and they struggle with. But in essence, that's what's the most important thing, is that we reach the millennial kingdom where Christ rules over the earth. And of course, you know, there's always going to be some things that we don't know. But we know that the dispensationalism teaches that there are two separate people of God at present, right? The church, of whom God's attention is at present focused, talking about the Gentiles, and Israel, of whom God's attention was focused in the past, and will refocus during the time of the Antichrist. The church and Israel are the two people of God that we'll be talking about in this prophecy. So that's where we're going to close tonight. But is everybody kind of clear? Have we kind of made a slow transition to the fact that we talked initially about that we would be looking at the type of literature that expressed and made clear about Christ's return? We would talk about that, and we would get clarity about looking at, are we prepared for Christ's return? And then as we prepare and we know that he is coming back, we have these end time dispensations that we need to understand exist. We talked about the dispensations being historic timelines and periods of time where God was interacting with God's people. But the end time dispensation are the latter times, the times when we're talking about Christ's return and the parousia and revelations and what it looks like in the millennial kingdom. So, and that's kind of dealing
Amen.
With the dispensation of grace and the millennial kingdom. But right now, you know, from my perspective, Dr. Nooks, I don't know about you, but I still feel like that we're I'm sure you agree with me. We're in the dispensation of grace still,
yes,
because we're trying
we
to look at that great tribulation time. We're trying to look at the time of trouble, the period in which the Antichrist is going to take over the world and rule. So,
amen.
Da 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 da. That is the ages. That's the dispensation. Now,
right.
Was that pretty straightforward, Brett?
Yeah,
did you feel that was pretty straightforward?
I already knew some of that. If I'm not mistaken, I have to go and look at my Thompson Chain Bible. I believe that there is a diagram of, and it's like color coded or something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that's just in that particular Bible, how they wanted to do that, yeah. So there's different,
right.
As I said to you earlier, there are different people who look at these timelines and they don't break them down quite the same.
Right.
But there probably has some crossovers in most of them. But the point is that we do understand that there are dispensations, which are events of time that depict what what God is doing with us as human beings. You would agree with that?
Right.
And so what we are trying to look at specifically as we understand dispensations is the end time in which we look to and can see when Christ's return will occur. And we'll move into that more next week. As we've kind of touched on, Dr. Nooks kind of touched on the rapture, which is actually what we set scheduled for November the 20th. But we'll be talking about, and we've touched on it a bit, but we'll continue to talk about Christ's return, being prepared, dispensations in the end time. But next week, what I really like for you to do, if you will, when we come back, can each of you bring to the table things that you see that may be indicative? Now, even if you don't have a futuristic perspective, just kind of buy in with me for a moment, and just you know, kind of pretend that you do for a moment. And let's look at the things that are happening in our world currently that might be indicative of the end of time, in which we can see that the Antichrist will rule, the rule of the Antichrist. So can we do that? Would that be too much to ask you guys to help me with next week?
No, it's not too much.
Okay.
No,
it'll
be fine. Yeah.
Okay, so if each of you could look at some things in which you can kind of see happening that are indicative of the dispensation that we're working in right now, the dispensation of grace, and how this is the period of time during which the Antichrist is going to rule the world, and what are the signs that may be occurring. So with that in mind, Dr. Nooks, Britt,
yes.
Can each of you give me one thing that you may have been reminded of tonight that's different or new or that's important to you, so that we can leave that with our radio audience tonight?
Well, this is Britt. From everything that's been said tonight, it just reminds me of some things that I had heard before, because as a teenager, I was one of those back in the 60s that we had questions. we would ask people in church about certain things, just like we're asking now in Bible studies. And a lot of it has to do with how a person views the book of Revelation, but it also, you have to have documentation to back up your beliefs. And I think tonight that's what we did. We showed that as we look at things that is going to happen in the future, we have documentation to back that up. It hasn't happened yet. So that just renewed in me what I already knew, but sometimes, you know, as they say, if you don't use it, you lose it. Your mind kind of faded a little bit, but.
Amen. And Brett, that's our perspective. There are other people who do believe differently, that they believe that the rapture has already occurred, and we're not going to challenge them. They have the right to believe that. And so as we move on in our belief, we'll try to look at what that looks like for those of us who are still waiting to be raptured, for those of us who are looking at what's happening in the world to be indicative of the end times. So, Dr. Nooks, did you have anything that jumped out at you that kind of was something that you felt you wanted to highlight as we close? And if you would, after that, if you would say a prayer and offer, extend an offering of fellowship into the kingdom.
Amen.
I would just say that the message of the Bible is that God loves us and God wants us to be a part of God. And Jesus' death, resurrection, the Bible, the messages of the Bible, Revelation is all God trying to get us to come to God. And I think that's a wonderful love message. And I hope we can look at it like that. All the things that are happening, that will happen in Revelation and have happened, is because God loves us. And that's a wonderful thing, that the God of the universe, that is so big, that God controls all of the cosmos, but God is also so small that he controls even the cells in our bodies. So God is awesome, and God loves us. And that's enough to shout about, the God that has all that power loves us so much that he even died for us. And with that, though there may be someone on the line that is inclined to give their life to Christ, there's something in you that is moving you to say, I want to be a part of God. I want God to be in me and a part of me. So I want to give my life to Christ. And if you just pray with me, God, I realize I've done some things that are wrong in my life. And at this point in my life, I've realized that I need you. And I want you to come in and be the Lord of my life. I want to give my life to you right now. I confess my sins. I realize that you died and you rose again from the dead. And I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you are my Savior. And I give my life to you. And I want you to come in and be my Lord. If you pray that, pray with me, then you're saved. And you're walking in a new way right now. You're walking as a saved believer. And no matter what comes, God is always going to be with you. And God, we thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for touching us and helping us to understand your word better. Help us, God, to see your love in all that is done. Help us to see your love even in people that would mistreat us, because you love even them. And that's hard for us to understand sometimes. Increase our love and understanding. And God, help us to grow and be the disciples that you would have us to be. To be the ambassadors of love that you would have us to be. God, strengthen us, because our strength runs out and we mess up and we get angry and we want to walk away. But something inside of us, the Spirit, keeps moving on us because we're a part of you and draws us back. And I'm so grateful for that Spirit today. And God, I give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory tonight. But you are an awesome God, and I love you, God, and I know you love me, and you love all of us. And God, lead and direct our leader, Dr. Susie. Give her the strength that she needs.
Yes.
I know that some of us are sick right now. Help us with our illness, and God, give us the strength that we need. Thank you for this wonderful, wonderful day and this wonderful, wonderful message and your wonderful, wonderful word. In Jesus' name
Amen.
We pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Next week.
Thank you guys for coming. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.